Thank you for listening to All Latino. You know, more than 40 million Americans speak Spanish, and millions more are learning. So for all of you, I'd like to recommend NPR's Radio Ambulante. It's the podcast to hear incredible stories from all over Latin America and across the U.S. Hosted by novelist Daniel Alarcón, Radio Ambulante covers the region like no one else, reporting and storytelling in Español. Radio Ambulante is on NPR One or wherever you listen to podcasts. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. This week, we turn our gaze to the west, to Los Angeles. For the next 4 months, the entire Southern California region will come alive with even more Latino arts and culture. Pacific Standard Time LA is an ambitious series of installations, exhibits, and performances that is described as an exploration of Latin American and Latino art in dialogue with Los Angeles. It takes place from September 2017 through January 2018 at more than 70 cultural institutions from Los Angeles to Palm Springs, from San Diego to Santa Barbara. And if you're not familiar with Southern California, that is a huge swath of Southern California. Music is a huge part of this celebration. And to guide us through all the music being presented in concerts and from the history of Los Angeles, we have with us Josh Kuhn. He is a professor in the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Southern California. Josh, welcome back to Alt Latino.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're also the editor of a book called The Tide Was Always High, the Music of Latin America and Los Angeles. We're going to get into all of that right now, but you developed a Spotify playlist for this wide series of events. What are we listening to underneath us right now?
Well, this is a song that is kind of perfect for this whole series. It's just titled Los Angeles, from 1963, from the great Puerto Rican singer and band leader, the one and only Tito Rodriguez.
The great Tito Rodriguez with the track Los Angeles. Okay, Josh, tell us about the Spotify playlist. Tell us about what's going on with Pacific Standard Time.
Sure. So as one small part of this, as you said, massive initiative and series that the Getty Foundation is funding and making possible across Southern California, I'm doing a project that includes that book, the edited volume that tries to explore the history of Latin American music in Los Angeles and the influence of Los Angeles on Latin American music. And then paired with that, we're trying to bring that book and all that research to life through a series of six live musical concerts and musical events that'll be happening all throughout the city throughout this fall. And as the third part of trying to bring all that to life, I'm working with the Getty to do a playlist just about every month on Spotify that we have two out right now. The second one just came out that tries to address some of the key themes and key ideas at the heart of the PST project.
Which are?
Well, the themes are many right now. Like, so the first playlist is just called, it's just kind of an explanatory overview of the different kinds of sounds, styles, cultures, national styles, national identities. That is all part of PST. The most recent one that I just put out just the other day is part of their theme, Let There Be Neighborhoods, and it's an exploration of songs that are linked to particular neighborhoods and zones throughout Los Angeles.
Now, I think that when people think of Los Angeles, they probably think of a predominance of Mexican music, just given the history and the population there. But one of the things we learned from the performances that are scheduled throughout the city and throughout the region, and also from the book and from the Spotify playlist, that there are a lot of cultures represented in Southern California.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, as you said, I mean, we are, from the very jump and from the very start, a Mexican city, and Mexican history and Mexican culture and Mexican music are at the very core of the identity of Los Angeles and the birth of Los Angeles. And still in the contemporary moment, of course, it's a dominant population. So we pay tribute to that and try to respect that in all the music and in all the research we do in the book. But also, as you said, recognizing that there's so many other Latino and Latin American groups in Los Angeles who bring different national histories and cultural histories and racial histories to bear on the musical history of the city. And in fact, the song we opened with, it really pays tribute to predominantly East Coast Latino bands who were playing in Los Angeles throughout the 1950s and 60s. And what's great about that song, actually, if you go back and listen to the lyrics, it actually shouts out some of the most important kind of early salsa, late mambo dance clubs that were happening across LA, particularly a club called Virginia's right next to MacArthur Park. That was a big, big dance hall and really important place for Latin bands from the East Coast who would come west to play.
And for those who don't recognize the name Tito Rodriguez, he was one of the big three mambo bands that were popular in New York in the 50s and into the 60s.
And not someone that people usually think about being connected to L.A., but that track actually comes from a great album of his that is just called From Hollywood. And it's got him sitting in a director's chair, and it was made out here. And I just love that most of the songs on that he didn't actually write, but that song, Los Angeles, he wrote himself as a tribute to the city, to the city's nightclubs. And it should be said, in relationship to your earlier point about Mexican Los Angeles, he has a particular affinity in that song for beautiful Mexican women in Los Angeles.
Taking in all the sights.
We say that with the appropriate hindsight from 2017 to 1963.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that strikes me is that, when I first met some of the New York musicians that were traveling with Tito Puente's band, like in the early 80s, I had a chance to do some interviews with some of those guys. And every time, and I did it out on the East Coast, and every time they make reference to California, they never call it California. They always call it the coast. And they always had a certain affinity because, especially in Los Angeles, with a little outpost up in the Bay Area, but especially Los Angeles, it seemed to be like the other part two of the salsa explosion, or at least a big band mambo explosion back in those days.
Absolutely. I mean, in part because of the nightclub scene, but of course because of all the record companies and record labels out here. And you had a lot of session players who might not be leading their own bands, but were kind of based in Los Angeles just so they could play on jazz records, they could play on rock records. This was, the part of the idea of the coast was that it was a place to work. You came out here to play shows and to do gigs and recording sessions and make some money. And so a lot of East Coast Latino artists would come and do, a week or 2 weeks at a club, and some of them ended up staying and created a kind of secondary home base here in LA. And that mix of East Coast, Afro-Cuban, mambo and cha-cha-cha, that was a huge sound all up and down the Sunset Strip, for example, in the 1950s. But then it got mixed with all of the West Coast jazz that was happening, Central Avenue, African-American jazz scene, mixing in with the psychedelic rock scene on the Strip and the Laurel Canyon folk scene. I mean, all of these scenes are usually written about as being very different and separate, but because of the musicians who cross between all those genres and styles, we really get a much different kind of holistic view of what the music of Los Angeles is.
Another album that was made popular during that time was by an artist who wasn't from Latin America, Nat King Cole. And his En Español album was a huge hit here in the United States, but specifically down in Latin America. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, well, he's someone who's a really great example of the influence of Latin American musical styles in Los Angeles on non-Latino artists. And Nat King Cole, of course, you know, one of the kind of great icons of mid-century popular music broadly and African American music specifically, who, you know, had come to Los Angeles to record, also to do work on his show on TV, and didn't just do one record about Latin America, he did three, starting in 1958 with the Call en Español album that Nelson Riddle arranged. And he recorded half of it in Havana and did, I think, all the vocals in Los Angeles. And so to me, it's just a great example of how much Latin music completely permeated the music culture of Los Angeles in the 1950s and 60s.
And what song are we going to hear from your playlist?
This is one of my favorites, no matter who does it. And it's also great to hear Nat King Cole's Spanish. It's one of the great gems of cross-cultural translation. It's his version of the great song Cachito by Consuelo Velázquez.
Cachito, cachito, cachito mío, pedazo de cielo que Dios me dio. Te miro y al fin bendigo, bendigo la suerte de ser tu amor. Me preguntan qué por qué eres mi cachito, y yo siento muy bonito al responder. Qué por qué eres de mi vida un pedacito, a que quiero como a nadie de querer.
Okay, we got to talk about his delivery, because in today's context, it just sounds a little different, right? But
he's trying, man. You know, he's trying.
But I remember
his vocab is on point. It's just the accent.
He learned it phonetically. He learned it syllable by syllable. And you know what's fascinating to me is that people didn't care, because down in Latin America, in Havana and Mexico especially, these records were massive. They were so successful.
Yeah, I mean, again, he did one that you might have been able to write off as a novelty, but it was so successful, he did a second one that he dedicated to all of his friends in Latin America. And then that was such a success that he went back and did the sequel to the first record as his third record. I mean, these were not minor albums. And as you said, were very popular with Spanish-speaking audiences.
Cachito mio, tú eres el amorcito.
Dime, papá.
Cachito, cachito mío, tú eres el amorcito de mamá.
Dime, papá.
Cachito, cachito, cachito mío, pedazo de cielo que Dios me dio. Te miro y al fin bendigo, bendigo la suerte de ser tu amor. A tu lado yo no sé lo que es tristeza, y las horas se me pasan sin sentir. Tú me miras y yo puedo la cabeza, y lo único que puedo es repetir. Cachito, cachito, cachito mío, pedazo de cielo que Dios me dio. Te miro y al fin bendigo, bendigo la suerte de ser tu amor.
Okay, that was Cachito from Nat King Cole from the album Cole en Español. And, you know, once I interviewed the great Cuban pianist, Bebo Valdez, and he told me that he did all the piano work on the on the tracks that were recorded in Havana.
I did not know that.
Yeah, wow. That's Bebo on piano and some of the horn arrangements as well.
It's just interesting because you think about all of that talent, right? All those legendary musicians on that session and the vocals recorded in Los Angeles. And it's one of those albums that really wouldn't happen without the kind of infrastructure of the music industry at the time, studios who could afford these sessions, who would fly Cole to Havana and back to Los Angeles, and who were employing just the best musicians they could find to be on a particular record. And that's one of the stories that keeps coming up in the book and in the research we did, was the role of session musicians, the role of record labels in trying to put together the best sounds they could, and that meant reaching for the best Latin American artists that they could find. And sometimes that meant people showing up on surprise records, on things that you would never think, like a Nat King Cole album.
We are talking with Josh Kuhn about the Pacific Standard Time musical series and artistic series going, spreading across Southern California between September and December. And then Josh has put together a Spotify playlist, and we're playing some selections from that playlist. So what do you have next on the list?
Oh, there's so many gems, Felix.
I know.
Do you think?
Let's see.
How are we feeling this morning?
You know, I'm feeling like, I'm feeling on the old side, okay? Like classic stuff.
I knew that.
Yeah.
You're always feeling on the old side.
on the classic side.
But let's talk about music, Felix. Enough about you.
Okay, how about some classic recordings then? Okay.
Let's go. I think one of the earliest cuts on there, well, the recording, I actually don't know exactly when this particular recording was made, but the song was written in the early 1900s by one of the pioneering composers in Mexico, based in Mexico City, and one of the first women composers in Mexico to make it big, the great María Grieber. And this is a song that she wrote in Spanish called Cuando Vuelva a Tu Lado.
Okay, this is a favorite. It's a version from a very popular album of boleros by the vocalist Iri Gourmet, along with the fantastic Mexican trio called Trio Los Panchos.
Cuando vuelva a tu lado, no me niegues tus besos, que el amor que te he dado no podrás olvidar. No me preguntes nada, que nada he de explicarte, que el beso que negaste ya no lo puede estar.
Cuando vuelva a tu lado y esté solo contigo, las cosas que te digo no repitas jamás.
Por compasión une tu labio al mío y estréchame tus brazos y cuenta los latidos de nuestro corazón.
Cuando vuelva a tu lado y esté solo contigo, las cosas que te digo
no repitas jamás. Por compasión une tu labio al mío y estréchame tus brazos y cuenta los latidos de nuestro corazón.
So some of your listeners might recognize the song actually in its English language version. It became a huge hit in the United States as What a Difference a Day Made, particularly through the Dinah Washington version. And she actually wrote this song because her husband, who is a U.S. oil company executive, was based in the U.S. and she was on a trip back home in Mexico. And during the Mexican Revolution, they were separated. And she wrote this song about missing her husband. And it became this huge hit in English. And she became a not just a major songwriter in Mexico, and as a key early figure of the Latin American songbook, but began working for Paramount Pictures in the 20th Century Fox Studios, and became one of the pioneers of Latin American composers working in Hollywood. alongside people like Agustin Lara, who's a very important early Mexican composer working in Hollywood. And her songs started showing up in unlikely places. And another of her songs ended up as one of the key songs in the Esther Williams film from 1944, Bathing Beauty. Mm-hmm. And so part of the project is also paying tribute to the way that Latin American composers would come to Los Angeles to work for the Hollywood studios. Their music would often be given new arrangements or translated into English, sometimes left in Spanish, and show up in you know, blockbuster English language Hollywood films.
Let's talk a little bit more about the book. Tell us some of the points that are made in the book.
Sure. Well, certainly one of the big stories in the book is this story of the connection between Hollywood and Latin American music. And in fact, one of the artists, we include an interview in the book with the late, great Juan García Esquivel, who one of the most important kind of experimental pop composers in Mexico, who came to Los Angeles in the 1950s to record some of his most pioneering so-called stereophonic albums for RCA. But Esquivel also worked for Universal. He wrote for a series of TV shows. And he's also one of the people that we're paying tribute to this Saturday in the first of our concerts at the Getty Center, where we have the Mexican Institute of Sound from Mexico City and members of the great Orquesta Mendoza out of Tucson with a 10-piece band put together here in Los Angeles by the great Alberto Lopez of Jungle Fire. And we're going to be doing a live kind of revisionary homage to Esquivel, but also Lalo Schifrin, the great Argentinian composer, who, of course, wrote so many great songs for Hollywood and TV, like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Mission Impossible. Enter the Dragon. We're going to be doing an Enter the Dragon tribute, which will be really fun. And a number of other composers who worked in Hollywood. So what we do in the book is try to provide some of those histories. And then with the concerts, we're trying to bring them to life so that audiences can engage with them in a whole other context.
And what's your role with the concerts? Are you going to be narrating? Are you going to be playing maracas? What's happening?
Oddly, I hadn't thought about the maracas option, Felix. You know what? I got to go. I got to redo the whole show. I'm going to go get some maracas. You will not see Josh Kuhn playing maracas at any of these shows. For both of our sakes. I will be, for the concert on Saturday, Sonorama, I will be kind of leading the audience through the history. So in between some of the songs, I'll be telling some of these stories just as backdrop and context. And I'll probably be doing a little of the same for our next show, which is a tribute to the great Ima Sumac, the great Peruvian singer. We're doing a tribute at the Hammer Museum with a series of contemporary singers here in Los Angeles who are going to be doing their own attempts at thinking about Ima Sumac, a very difficult singer to try to recreate. So I don't think we're going to have too many recreations, but we're going to have lots of great tributes. So I'll be talking through that show as well. But the rest of the shows, I'll be just kind of behind the scenes, curating them, making sure that they happen as well as they can. All these shows, I should say, are in direct partnership with various venues like the Hammer and the Getty and LACMA. The Huntington, the Palace Theater in downtown Los Angeles, and with Royce Hall at UCLA. So I'm working very closely with teams of people who know how to put on these big shows.
You know, you mentioned Ima Sumac, and I've always been fascinated by her story and her music, and I think it's time to hear a little bit of that. Do you have something on one of your Spotify playlists that you want to play for us?
She'll be coming up on one of the future playlist, but one of the songs that we're going to be trying to recreate live is a song of hers called No Es Vida, and this is going to be sung by Empress Of, an artist I believe you featured on your show before, who's based here in Los Angeles, and she's going to be doing her own version of this song. Like most of Ima Sumac's songs, heavy and big arrangements, and features her multi-octave vocal range.
No es vida la que que yo paso, no es vida la que me doy. No es vida la que yo paso, no es vida la que me doy. Yo tengo el alma enferma, enferma de tanto amar. A mí no me engaña nadie, ni tampoco me engañará. Desde el Tonkin me voy bien por aquí. Será para mamá más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Del Tonkin me voy bien por aquí. Será para mamá más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Ay, cholita, sí, sí, sí. Ay, cholita, no, no, no. Tú serás la más hermosa, la más linda del Perú. Desde el Tonkin me voy en polaquín, serví mi mamá más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo del Tonkin. Me voy en polaquín, serví mi mamá más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo del Tonkin. Me voy en polaquín, serví mi mamá más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo del Tonkin. Me voy en polaquín, serví mi mamá más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. No es vida la que yo paso, no es vida la que me doy. Yo tengo el alma enferma, enferma de tanto amor. A mí no me engaña nadie, ni tampoco me engañar. Desde el Tonkin me voy a por aquí, serme más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Del Tonkin me voy a por aquí, serme más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Cholita, sí, sí, sí. Ay, cholita, no, no, no. Tú serás la más hermosa y la más linda del Perú. Desde el Tonkin me voy a por aquí, serme más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Del Tonkin me voy a por aquí, serme más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Del Tonkin me voy a por aquí, serme más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Del Tonkin me voy a por aquí, serme más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Del Tonkin me voy a por aquí, serme más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo. Del Tonkin me voy a por aquí, serme más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo, más cómodo.
The legendary Ima Sumac with the track No It's Vida. We are talking to Josh Kuhn about Pacific Standard Time, a series of concerts that are going to be taking place all over Southern California. And for those of you who are not in Southern California and can't make the scene one way or the other, we want to remind you that there will be some Spotify playlists to go along with different aspects of the series and the exhibit and the entire event taking place between September and December. How do we hook up with you on Spotify? Do we look for you? Do we look for your website? How do we get to these lists?
You can actually go for these particular playlists. You can go to the official Pacific Standard Time site, and there's a live link to the Spotify playlist, or you can follow me directly and personally on Spotify. But you'll probably also have to hear other playlists, like what my daughter listens to in the car. So, but if you don't mind that, come on through.
All right, let's dig back into the Spotify playlist. Let's move forward. Let's do Herb Alpert.
So Herb Alpert's a crucial figure in the history of Los Angeles music, and is a really great example of the central role that Latin American musical genres and styles have played in forming broader mainstream musical tastes. Herb Alpert in 1962 was writing R&B songs and was working actually on an instrumental, got stuck, as legend has it, drove south from Los Angeles across the Mexican border to a bullfight in Tijuana, heard the mariachi fanfare during the bullfight, was so inspired, he went back home and he tried to imitate the sound of the mariachi horns and trumpets, and he tripled his own trumpet, and he created a song called The Lonely Bull that got released by a label he had to create in order to put the song out, that he did with his friend and soon-to-be partner Jerry Moss, and that label was called A&M Records, and that record label became one of the most important indie labels in the history of Los Angeles and arguably in the United States, that began with mariachi in Tijuana, and Herb ended up forming a band called Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, and the Tijuana Brass were included not a single player from Mexico. These were, as he used to joke, a group of bagels and salamis, mostly Jews and Italians, who were session players in Los Angeles. But their music for most of the 1960s, which was a hugely popular music, featured what became known as the Tijuana sound. And this was, you know, heavy on marimbas and kind of faux mariachi trumpet. And that's what he got known for in the 1960s. This was a huge sound, not just in L.A., but across the world. But the song I wanted to play was actually much later, when Herb was performing as a solo artist. This is a song that is should be very familiar to anyone who spent long nights at discos in the 1980s. Or if you are a fan of the Notorious B.I.G., a song called Rise.
Okay, Josh Kuhn, we're about out of time. We have enough time for one more track. Looking back at the music from Latin America that's influenced Los Angeles, what are you going
to
choose?
Well, a big part of the research we did included trying to track the history of Brazilian music in Los Angeles and its impact, not just on the Latin music scene here, but on the funk music scene and jazz scene in L.A., its impact on bands like Earth, Wind & Fire, for example. So I thought maybe we'd play music from one of the great Brazilian percussionists who's still working here in Los Angeles, Ayrton Moreira, who left on the East Coast after he'd been working with Weather Report and Miles Davis in the mid-70s to come out to Los Angeles, where he still lives. And he played on so many records by other people, but also recorded a whole series of great solo albums. And one of the first full solo albums he recorded in Los Angeles was one called Promises of the Sun, and this is a track from that.
One of my own personal percussion heroes, Ayrton Moreira. Josh Kuhn, professor in the Annenberg School for Communications at the University of Southern California. As always, man, thank you for joining us and passing on all of that knowledge you carry around.
My pleasure. Total honor to be with you always.
We've been talking about Pacific Standard Time. It's a series of installation exhibits and performances that it describes itself as an exploration of Latin American and Latino art in dialogue with Los Angeles from September 17th through next January 2018. At various locations in Southern California. Thank you again for coming in. We want to remind you that you can hear the music that we play today, not on the individual tracks, but we're going to link up to your Spotify playlist so people can check that out. Great. And if you happen to be in Los Angeles this week, Josh, where's this gig?
At the Getty Center, free and open to everyone. It's called Sonorama, Mexican Institute of Sound, leading a whole crew of amazing musicians paying tribute to Latin American composers in Hollywood.
And there will be other performances throughout the fall. My name is Felix Contreras. This has been All Latino. Thank you all for listening.